Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I hope you have been with us for this series, God is Jealous, which ends today. If you missed any of the 13 episodes, please visit our website and listen to the free God Is podcast, www.godisministry.org. That's God Is Ministry. .org, click series and God is Jealous and you will be right into it. Please take advantage of the podcast to stay up to date so that you capture how this incommunicable attribute of the living God is on full display in all of Scripture. GodIsMinistry.org. From the start, we have differentiated God's jealousy versus our jealousy. God is not jealous like we are jealous. His jealousy is holy. Our jealousy is sin. God will not stand for rivalry and the unfaithfulness this brings out in us. He knows He is the only God, and so when we make gods and goddesses out of anyone or anything that is not Him, this provokes His jealousy. We, on the other hand, use our jealousy towards sinful ends, and there is a close connection between jealousy and envy. We do not like it when someone has an advantage over us, so we can become hostile to a rival that we believe enjoys such an advantage. Our jealousy manifests itself in all sorts of behavior that's anything but Christ-like. You are human like me, so you know what I mean. But is there any kind of jealousy we can have that is Christ-like, that is godly? The answer is yes, and an example is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 25. If you're able, please turn to Numbers 25, and I will begin reading in verse 1 in a few moments. First, some background. Are you familiar with Balaam? Balaam was a wicked prophet, but not a false prophet. That is, he did hear from God, and God did give him true prophecies to prophesy. But because of his sinfulness, he ended up betraying Israel and leading them into deeper sin. The king of Moab, a man named Balak, called for Balaam to curse Israel on the Israelites' journey to Canaan through the king's territory. Let me read Numbers 22, verses 5 through 7. So Balak sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, a people came out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the surface of the land, and they are living opposite me. Now, therefore, please come, curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I may be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the fees for divination in their hand, and they came to Balaam and repeated Balak's words to him. Ah, a prophet for hire. This sets up the meeting between King Balak and the prophet Balaam, and then in Numbers 31, verse 16, we read, "Behold, these caused the sons of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, to trespass against the Lord in the battle of Peor. So the plague was among the congregation of the Lord." Failing to curse Israel, what Balaam did do was give advice to the Moabites and Midianites on how to provoke God's anger. So that on the plains of Moab, before the conquest of the land of Canaan, we have this episode. I am reading Numbers 25, verses 1 through 3. While Israel remained at Shittim, the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab, for they invited the people to the sacrifice of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel joined themselves to Baal of Peor, and the Lord was angry against Israel. Sittim is the region across the Jordan River from Jericho, where Israel invaded Canaan in Joshua 2. When verse 3 says Israel joined themselves to Baal of Peor, it means the pagan sex cult, full of all sorts of immoral and idolatrous acts. Here again we have the bad marriage of idol worship. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. And sex. The false god is Baal Peor, and the female Moabites and the male Israelites were engaged in a full-on cultic orgy. And the Lord does not overlook this sin. He does not turn a blind eye, and he does not excuse it. Instead, the one true God takes drastic action. I am reading Numbers 25, verses 4 through 9. The Lord said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel." So Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Each of you slay his men who have joined themselves to Baal of Peor." Then behold, one of the sons of Israel came and brought to his relatives a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the sons of Israel while they were weeping at the doorway of the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he arose from the midst of the congregation and took a spear in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and pierced both of them through. The man of Israel and the woman threw the body. So the plague on the sons of Israel was checked. Those who died by the plague were 24,000. Phinehas. This is a man we should know. Phinehas took action on behalf of the Lord. He pierced the fornicators. The Midianite woman and the Israelite man, whose names are given in verses 14 and 15 of this chapter, are slain, and by this, God's plague upon the people was stopped. Let's hear God's reaction, and this is the key, what I really want you to get. Verses 10 through 13 of Numbers 25. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned away my wrath from the sons of Israel, and that he was jealous with my jealousy among them, so that I did not destroy the sons of Israel in my jealousy. Therefore say, behold, I give him my covenant of peace, and it shall be for him and his descendants after him, a covenant of a perpetual priesthood, because he was jealous for his God and made atonement for the sons of Israel." Wow. Listen to the Lord. I find this stunning. Phinehas was jealous with my jealousy. Is there a godly way for one of God's children to exercise jealousy? Yes. It is this. Be jealous with God's jealousy. Phinehas was zealous for the holiness of God, such that he took action. This is applicable to us. We live in a godless culture. We too exist in a pagan land wherever we are. All around us, the name of God is maligned and his holiness mocked. Also, sometimes within our Christian communities, God is not exalted, but his honor is brought low by how believers act. I hope we will be challenged by Phinehas. I pray we will be so zealous for our God that we will be jealous with God's jealousy. We will worship him alone, proclaim and exalt him, and defend his honor in the public space and in the church space too. We are not called to pick up a spear and slay sinners. In fact, we are commanded to pray for our enemies and love our enemies. And how do we do that? We lovingly and boldly and clearly share with them the gospel, and we express offense when the Lord's name and reputation is taken in vain and mocked. We speak on behalf of the one true God. By the way, God rewarded Phinehas with a covenant of a perpetual priesthood, making him the head of the family line from which all genuine high priests would then come. Actually, this promise extends so far it goes into the millennial kingdom. So I am happy to introduce you or reintroduce you to Phinehas today. Friends, let's have God say of us, he or she is jealous with my jealousy. And if you're struggling with what that actually looks like in practice, write to me and let's discuss. I always welcome hearing from you. Let me pray for us, and then I want to give a benediction to this series. Father, our Lord and our God, thank you for these days we've spent with one another and your infallible and holy word to us. How wonderful it is to know that you are jealous for us. You will defend your honor. You will see to it that your most holy name is exalted. There is no God but you. I pray for the people of this world, some who hear this and many who do not, that they may repent of the sin of idolatry by turning in faith to Jesus Christ, their single hope of salvation. Smash down and take away all our idols so that we can clearly see you. For those of us who are Christians, help us to carefully examine our lives, to judge ourselves, and to repent of our sin of idolatry. Forgive us, O Lord. Holy Spirit, help us. Assist us greatly in responding positively to what we have been learning. Guard our hearts and minds and bodies from worshiping anyone or anything other than you. You are God exclusively. May we believe this and live like we believe this. Amen. Here is our benediction. I'm reading Jude 1, verse 25. To thee, only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority, before all time, now and forever. Amen. Indeed, to thee, only God. Join us next time for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.